The thought I have today, the title is The Easter Story. You know, today is Easter, and we celebrate it because of the resurrection, because Christ rose from the dead. But in order for us to really understand and to really get the significance of Easter or of the resurrection, we need to look at the things that happened prior to that. The suffering and the shame and the agony and the pain that Jesus went through before this took place. So we want to look at 1 Corinthians 11. I need you to read and please kind of read up louder as possible. Verses 23 to 25. And so we want to remember the Lord. Jesus wanted us to remember him. He didn't want us to go about our lives and not take time and remember him. And so in this scripture, we're going to read what Paul said. 11:23-25.
For I have received the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come.
Okay. And so you see, we need to remember the Lord. He made the ultimate sacrifice. He was the perfect sacrifice. When we think of before Jesus came and how each year people had to go year by year and offer an animal for sacrifice for their sins. The thing is, the priest did this, and the priest was not perfect himself. He had to have offer sacrifice for himself and for the people. But Jesus came, and he began to be the great sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice. I want us to think a little bit about Easter. The story of Easter, what does it mean to us? Is it a reality, or is it just, you know, celebration with eggs and bunnies and new clothes? And or does it mean more? We want to look at what Jesus did for us so that we can take it in and let it really soak in and become a part of our lives. We want to feel what Jesus felt. But when we do, we kind of start with the Garden of Gethsemane, where he suffered there. So he agonized there. He knew what he was going to face. It's not like sometimes we go through things and we don't know the outcome. We don't know what's ahead of us. We know only a part of it. Some people, when they get a diagnosis that they got cancer, they already can visualize some of the things, but they don't know the depths of it. But Jesus knew every part of what he was facing. Nothing, no part of it was left out. And so when we go to Matthew, we're going to go in Matthew and read chapter 26, verses, start at 36, sorry. And we want to see what Jesus had to face. You see, all of this that Jesus went through was for you and for me. It was for our salvation. It was for our eternity. It wasn't like those people when they went to offer the sacrifice and the priests, that was only for a year. In fact, it didn't even last that long, because when the people repented of their sins, they went back, offered sacrifice for their sin, they went back and sinned again. But Jesus sacrificed. He was the perfect sacrifice, and he did it for eternity. He was, in one scripture it says he was a high priest after the after Melchizedek. But he was a perfect sacrifice, and he was a high priest that had no blemish. He was guiltless. The priest that would offer those sacrifices, you couldn't say they were guiltless, because they had sinned and they had to repent of their sins as well. But Jesus was guiltless. And so here we have a sacrificial lamb, the guiltless for the guilty, because we're the ones that are guilty. He was that perfect sacrifice. And so we want to look at the sacrifice he made. We want to look deep into it and see what he went through for us. Sometimes I feel like if you could just really get a hold to how much Jesus did for you, it would make a difference. It'll make a change in us. Things that we used to could do, we can't do it, because we realize he's made the ultimate sacrifice for me, so I must do what pleases him. Let's go to the Garden of Gethsemane, starting at verse 36.
Then comes Jesus to the disciples, "Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then he saith unto them, being sorrowful, even unto death, "Tarry ye here and watch with me a little farther." On his face, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." The disciples, and findeth them asleep, "Ye not watch with me 1 hour?"
Read all the way to 46.
"Way again the second time, and pray, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again. Prayed the third time. Then cometh he to the disciples, and saith unto them, Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed. Must be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me."
So can we stop a minute and think of what it felt like there in the Garden of Gethsemane? Jesus was facing death. He was facing, when I mentioned about him being an ultimate sacrifice, he was, but he was not facing death because of something that he did. He was facing death because of us. And the weight that he had was the weight of the sins of every living soul to come into the world. And so he was very heavy. In one scripture, it says that his sweat ran down as drops of blood. He was feeling such agony and pain that he knew what he was facing, but it was hard, because his flesh could feel it. He could feel, no doubt, the nails that were going to come through his hands. He could feel, no doubt, the rejection, one of his own betraying him. The grief that it took just having one of his own to betray him into the hands of sinners. He could feel, no doubt, the things that were going to happen, the crown of thorns. No doubt he could feel the slaps, the spitting, the pain, all of these things. He felt that before he actually witnessed it, he felt it in Gethsemane. And so he was so full of emotion as he was saying, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death." All he wanted was for his disciples to watch with him. And when he come back, they were asleep. It was like Don't you care? Don't you see? Don't you feel? Of course they didn't. They didn't know. But all of this is the emotions that went through our Savior when he was there in Gethsemane. And so he wanted, it was like, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine. He submitted to the will of God for our sakes. And so we want to sing this song, 152, Thy Will Be Done. And Sarah, I need you to sing as loud as you can, because my voice is not good.
The eventide falls gently now by heaven's side, o'er olive brow, and through the gloom, methinks I see the lonely form in prayer for me. The gentle tone through stately trees is borne upon the murmuring breeze. He bowed his head, God's only Son, and meekly said, Thy will be done. In
Thy precious will be done. think of this song in that third verse. It says, and then before his vision came, the crown of thorns, the cruel shame, the scorn of those he sought to save. And I think of that verse, and I think of how he came here to do so much, to heal the sick, raise the dead, to give sight to the blind, and those that couldn't hear, to give them hearing, and those that couldn't walk, to help them walk. And above all that, to save each and every one. And those, no doubt, they had a burden for, a desire to save. It says, the scorn of those he sought to save. I think then of the pain it must have felt right then, with him knowing all of this was ahead of him. And so that's why he had to agonize in Gethsemane and be able to get the God to submit to all of these things that he knew was ahead of him. And so we want to move on as we look at what happened before the Easter morning. We want to look at the suffering that he went through and the pain that he felt. Let's go now to verse 47. And we think about how that here was one of his very own. And let's read 47 to 50.
And with him a great multitude with swords and staves and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master. Jesus said unto him, wherefore art thou come? And came they. And
he called him friend, and yet he betrayed him. What pain he had to suffer for you and for me. And so we want to look at how much grief and pain he went through. We're going to go now to, y'all have to forgive me with page turning, I'm not good at it. Let's go to, we're going to kind of back up just a little bit because we want to see what happened about Peter and how he denied him. But Peter had thought he would never do that. Peter had said that he would not, though all people go from me, I won't. He told them that they would leave him. They would all go be offended with him, but he said he wouldn't. So let's go now to verse 30, where it says, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then said Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men should be offended because of thee, yet will I not be offended? And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. But he couldn't keep that. Peter wasn't able to keep that. Let's go to Luke 23 and 34.
23 and 34.
Mm-hmm.
Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
No, I got the wrong one. Excuse me. Hold on. Go back into Matthew 26. Go to 69. So after they took him, Peter followed afar off, and we want to read that. Mm-hmm.
Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto him, that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while, they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them. For thy speech are saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice.
So, and I think I was trying to get that in Luke, where it says that Jesus turned and he saw him. When he said that, in that one, he had denied him, but also in one of the scriptures, Jesus turned and looked at Peter, and Peter realized what he had done and what Jesus had prophesied to him, that he would deny him thrice. Before the cock crow, thou wilt deny me thrice, which is three times. And I was thinking about that, and how that Jesus was there, had gone through so much suffering. But when he heard Peter deny him, I have no doubt a dart went through his heart. He knew he was going to do it. But it was painful for him to actually witness that happening. The very one that was so verbal, Peter was so verbal and so devoted to the Lord. And now he's denying him. So we want to think about all the things and how that Peter meant well, but he could not do it. Let's read on now and in Matthew 27, and let's start reading some of the things that he had to go through.
When the morning was come, priests and elders of the took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him unto Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, What is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed, and went and hanged himself. It is not lawful for to put them in the treasury.
Yes. Stop just a minute. We don't want to keep going. And then we want to skip some of the reading. So we see how that Judas realized his wrong, but he went and they wouldn't accept the money. They did finally, and they decided to do it another way. They couldn't put in the treasure. But let's go now, skip down to verse 11.
Before the governor, and the governor asked him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? That the governor marveled greatly. Now at that feast the governor was wont to release him, and they had then a noble prisoner called Barabbas. When they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called the Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him, who was set down on the judgment seat. Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day.
Okay, stop. So you see, even though they were witnessing against him, he said not a word. He was such a wonderful Savior. He was an example, and he was the great sacrifice that God allowed. You know, God gave his son for us, and his son gave his life. And he suffered many things, agony, the pain, the ridicule, the disrespect. Can you imagine what it's like? He is the Son of God. And yet these men disrespected him and talked to him like he was beneath them, and not knowing that he had their breath and life in his hand. If he chose, he could have snuffed it out right then, but he didn't. And so our hearts break when we see the very seriousness of the things that Jesus suffered for us. Let's go down to verse 26.
Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put him on a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, king of the Jews. And they spit upon him, and took the reed, and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him, and put his own raiment on him, and led him away to be crucified. As they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, of a skull, gave him vinegar to drink. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink.
Okay, stop. We're going to go down now. We'll skip some of the reading. Let's go to, well, going down. Keep going.
And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation. Written were their two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand, another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, hanging their heads, saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now. If he will have him, he said, I am the Son of God. Crucified with him. The sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Okay, we'll stop there. You see, even at the end, he felt the pain of being forsaken. He felt like he felt alone and forsaken. Remember, all of his disciples had left. Peter had denied him. Judas had betrayed him. And now he's feeling like his own father, God, had forsaken him. We know that God hadn't, but no doubt in a sense he had to turn his back to allow his son to be crucified. No doubt he had to withdraw to a point because of the agony of his son going through all of these things. And you know, it said from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, there was darkness on the earth. And in one scripture, it says an earthquake happened. And some of the saints that were dead came out of the grave. All of this was the emotion, no doubt, that God himself reaction to what he saw his son going through for us. And today, what are we going to do with this Jesus? What are we going to do with him? Are we going to turn our backs on him? Are we going to just let him suffer for us and not respond? We want to be faithful to respond to this great Savior that was willing to take so much for you and for me. But our sadness turns to joy. On that third day, he had promised, told his disciples that he would die, but he would rise again on the third day. And so we want to go to Matthew 28, verse 1.
In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone from the door, and sat upon it. And for fear of him, the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek him. He is not here, for he is risen. Tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. Behold, he goeth before you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring.
You could stop there. And so we see that today we can rejoice, although we see the pain and suffering that Jesus had. But we have now a risen Christ, and he's risen in our heart. When we give our heart to God, this risen Christ is risen in our heart. It's no longer just a story for us to read and to listen to, But it becomes a reality within us when we yield to Him and give our lives to Him. So we can rejoice in that we have a risen Savior. Go to Luke 24 and 1 through 11.
Luke 24, 1 through 11.
Yes.
Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered it. And they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, they bowed their faces to the earth, and said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? Here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man put into the hands of sin, the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women that were with them, unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not.
So we see that this is another witness of the resurrection and how it happened. And the disciples, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joanna, those were the ones that were there at the sepulchre. But God, the angels told them to go and to tell the apostles, the others. At first they didn't, but eventually Jesus himself showed himself to each one of them, and they began to know that their Lord was risen. So we thank the Lord today that we have a risen Christ. He has raised from death to life, and we have this opportunity today to be raised from death to life.